We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. Everybody can listen to us either on the radio on KFI or on the iHeart app. John and Ken on demand is the name of the podcast. Gets posted shortly after 4 o'clock. So anything you missed today, you can listen to.
All right, again, a bit of the breaking news that came out just before 2 o'clock is that former President Trump went on Truth Social and posted that he believes Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor looking into Trump, will issue an indictment against him at 5 p.m. That's Eastern time, so that's 2 o'clock our time. We don't know yet if that's going to happen, but that is what Trump is saying. It would be his second federal indictment and his third criminal indictment overall. That was 2 weeks ago. He said he got a letter from Smith's team notifying him he was the target of an investigation. So the federal grand jury hears on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they are hearing today. So I guess it's possible, unless Trump just got a bum
The news networks, they could have inside knowledge. They're acting as if it is imminent. They've got live cameras pointed at the courtroom or at the courthouse building, and the grand jury investigating interference has finished for the day.
Wow.
So we'll see, but they're running all the big headlines that he's expected to be indicted today, or at least Trump thinks so. So I don't know if they know that it's coming. I mean, they must have followed up with their sources to see if it's true, because I don't think they would just sit here and carry on just because Trump posted something.
I suppose so. So we'll again, see. This is a federal indictment, and it deals with the 2020 election. One of Trump's old attorneys, remember Ty Cobb?
Ty Cobb, yes. Hall of Famer.
He's got like founding father head and hair.
He batted over 400.
Like the handlebar mustache and the strange receding hairline with the long hair in the back.
Mm-hmm.
He called Trump a deeply wounded narcissist who acted in a criminal manner to try to overturn the 2020 election results. Huh. I guess he's changed his tune on it. Well, lawyers will represent you and
well, if you
believe in
you
when they're being paid, right?
If you pay him, they'll say anything. But when you stop paying him, then...
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story, and we'll bring you coverage from ABC News if Jack Smith, the prosecutor, has anything to say during our show. We now turn to today being August 1st. That means that... renters in Los Angeles are supposed to pay back the rent that they didn't pay in the first 18 months of the pandemic, which takes us back, of course, March 2020 to September 2021. covering the story for KFI News is Blake Trolley.
Blake, welcome.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so with all of this, Mayor Bass has announced resources to help tenants and landlords. But the big focus here seems to be on tenants. The city launched a PR campaign to get the word out long before this deadline. That included radio ads, newspaper ads, and social media to make people aware of resources. The Mayor's Fund, which is essentially a private organization for the mayor's agenda, has launched a program that connects people facing eviction with resources, including legal help. That organization has made case management appointments with more than 10,000 people.
10,000?
More than 10,000 people. That's according to the mayor's press release yesterday, John.
I don't understand. They got a break for a year and a half. Why don't they just pay their bill?
And we'll get into that because the Apartment Association of Greater LA, I know you had Daniel Uchelson on yesterday. They are upset with the way the city's handling this, and we'll get into that. I just want to get through the resources here just so, you know, we can kind of lay out what's being done for tenants as opposed to landlords. The city, county, and others have set up a website for people who are facing eviction to understand renter protection. It also will refer renters to legal resources. And Mayor Bass yesterday held a press conference ahead of today being that deadline.
Tomorrow, many in our city are facing eviction because of the expiration of certain COVID-19 rental protections. But that is not the headline of today. The headline is that for the first time, the city is taking a coordinated, proactive approach to assisting Angelenos to stay inside. Our message today to Angelenos is clear. Do not self-evict. If you receive a notice, file a response. And most importantly, reach out to the city for support.
Well, that's promoting lawlessness here. I mean, if you haven't paid your rent and the landlord asked you to leave, who is she telling people to?
Well, she said self-evict. I mean, don't do anything until, you know, it becomes a legal situation, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the proper thing to do when you're not paying your bills anymore. Yeah, you should move out. Go find a cheaper place to live. I don't understand a public official telling people, go ahead, keep living in a place you're not paying for. Screw that landlord. That's terrible.
And we'll get into some of these egregious cases of people not paying their rent, John. But all of the motivation for this action seems to be the homeless number rising. That seems to be the big fear with these evictions. As you guys know, the homeless count was up year over year in L.A. this year. The mayor says she's worried it could happen again. She said that yesterday at the press conference. Now, the mayor said yesterday she wants to support tenants, but also wants to support small landlords and make sure they don't go under. But Bass yesterday highlighted a proposal. This goes up against a committee tomorrow to use money from that new mansion tax, that luxury real estate tax that we heard about. It was just enacted this year. The investments into tenants far outweigh the landlords. Let's break this down. About $18.5 million would go towards paying up to 6 months in back rent for tenants. So that would just be money going straight back to landlords for money they're owed. $23 million, so you're already at more than $4 million more, would go to an eviction defense program. Now, in limited cases, the mayor says that money would go to paying settlements of back rent. $5.5 million would go to tenant outreach and education, including legal clinics.
Education? Wait, stop a second. What's to educate?
You
have a monthly rental bill? Pay it. You don't have to go to a class. You know, if you're renting something for $1,500, pay the $1,500.
You know, I didn't need a class for it, John. Maybe someday.
I don't remember going to a class on how to pay rent.
Well, we're still not through this number. $11.2 million would go toward an anti-tenant harassment program. So more than twice the amount would go to tenants than go to just paying back landlords. I tried to question the mayor about it. Here's that exchange from yesterday.
Significantly more money highlighted in this ULA, in these ULA dollars that you're asking the city council to allocate are geared towards tenants, when only $18 million is geared towards the rental assistance that you're talking about. Why not put all the money into rental assistance and at least try to make them whole as possible?
You have to do both. I mean, to address this problem, you need to protect the tenants, but you also need to protect the landlords as well. You know, years ago when Proposition H was passed, I think there were about 14,000 people who were unhoused. We saw an explosion of people who were unhoused. Why? Because attention was not paid to preventing people from falling into homelessness.
No!
If we're serious about this problem, we have to address it comprehensively, which means we have to prevent people from falling into homelessness, get them off the streets as fast as possible, and into permanent housing.
Stop! They're drug addicts. That's why they fell into homelessness. They're drug addicts. And the meth and the fentanyl exploded. She walks around saying this out loud? That is crazy talk. That's completely false. Completely false. It's the drugs that's created this situation.
I know you guys had Daniel Uchelson from the Apartment Association of Greater LA on the show yesterday. Uchelson says rather than blowing the money on private attorneys, it's time for the city to cover unpaid rent. He says a lot of landlords are still owed money. And he says the city needs to stop babysitting what he calls adults who have taken advantage of the rent situation. Take a listen to some of these cases Uchelson highlights.
In many cases, our organization received evidence of owners being completely taken advantage of by their tenants. Tenants who are not paying rent were seen going off to work. Amazon and restaurant food deliveries continued. New cars continued to show up in parking spots. And owners who were friends with their tenants on Facebook saw tenants taking expensive vacations while at the same time not paying rent. In some of the most egregious cases, tenants were able to bank enough money from rent that they saved to put a down payment on a property of their own. And at the same time, rent was difficult to collect. Housing providers were under a strict rent freeze on rent increases in the city of Los Angeles, while costs skyrocketed due to inflation.
Imagine not paying your rent or your mortgage for 3.5 years. Yeah, you'd have a big bundle there that you could lay down as a down payment. I know two people who got screwed by their tenants. One woman was a lawyer, and she wasn't paying her rent. She had two teenagers living with her, and she went to work every day to her law firm, and she wouldn't pay rent to the guy.
You know, John, I just moved out of my apartment back to a bedroom, and I think I'm getting on the John Cobell diet now because I've been eating a lot more steak just by saving about half what I was paying to have my own place.
There you go. So, it's a very healthy diet. You live a long time.
Zinc levels are superb.
Yeah.
All right, Blake, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Blake Trolley covering, of course, today being August 1st. L.A. renters have to pay about a year and a half's worth of back rent that they owed that has been suspended since the pandemic began in 2020.
She should have come out and said, you got a year and a half. You should have banked the savings. That's what you should have done. These people didn't. They bought stuff. They went on vacation. They indulged. They acted irresponsibly like little kids. And you know that what Blake said about the attorneys, how many politically connected attorneys are going to be on this gravy train representing these soon-to-be evicted deadbeats? God, our whole society is just filled with frauds. Everybody is defrauding, especially the government.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
And just a few days already, we'll be playing Moistline calls. So if you want to be a part of this week's collection, leave your message using the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call this toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Are the networks still on standby for a possible Trump indictment?
Yes, they are.
They've got their talking heads.
They are busy chattering away.
They just start talking in circles because there's nothing new to say, right?
There's nothing to say.
Nothing new other than it's possible the indictment's coming this afternoon.
Like I said, they must have their own sources saying, yeah, it's coming, because otherwise Trump just commandeered all the news networks to talk in circles and they got a camera pointed at the courthouse.
Maybe he did that because he thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
To have him do his bidding. He put something out on Truth Social there's an indictment coming at 5 p.m. and they all jump.
He's been doing this for 8 years. Every time he burps, they do blanket coverage, saturation coverage.
Yeah, they don't cover his rallies like they used to. Like I saw a story the other day, he did a rally and we're actually on his mailing list, so sometimes I get 10 or 15 a day for Trump little screeds.
I had to block all his emails. I was getting overwhelmed
Sometimes they're funny. I glance at them because he puts somebody down and he's still got that ability to kind of cut somebody in half with some quick truths. But some of them are just railing about the election.
He's just banging a tin pot looking for donations.
We were talking about the possibility, we don't know how strong it is, that people who don't pay their back rent that they owed for the first 18 months of the pandemic in Los Angeles could face eviction, and they've gone into overdrive to save tenants from falling into homelessness.
You know something? But you see how they have a fake issue, and they use that to scare people and then ask us to pay for it? Not ask us. They told us. Karen Bassetti told us we're going to pay for these people, trying to scare us that they're going to end up on the streets and you don't want any more people on the streets. Yeah. No! Unless they're drug addicts, they're not going to end up on the streets. And they should have they had 18 months to handle this situation. I don't... Human behavior is at an all-time high for just complete, I don't give a crap, irresponsibility. Just whatever. You pay for it. I'm not working. I'm not paying. Don't bother me. I'm entitled to this apartment. You go figure it out. Don't talk to me.
Well, we've talked before about the war in California on the single-family home. The El Segundo Times did a front-page story today on a developer who could be your worst nightmare if you like your single-family home community. He's a man with an interesting name. Akhilesh Jha, J-H-A. He's apparently studied all the codes. He's an aerospace engineer. He's now turned into a real estate developer. And the project they're highlighting is a 7-story apartment complex he wants to put up in Woodland Hills, in what is known as the Harvard Heights community. He purchased a single-family home property, and then he laid out his plans to build a 7-story building to replace it.
33 units.
They came back to him and said, there's problems with this. He came back to them and said, oh, you know what? Actually, I want to add an 8th floor.
No.
And when he laid out his case based on the city's state laws and city zoning codes, they claimed they had nothing they could do but approve his plan.
You know what? This guy's acting like a real jerk. He knows the entire neighborhood is against this. He knows that it's going to completely ruin the whole essence of the neighborhood. I mean, I saw, you know, the photos, and these are, you know, single family ranch style homes. And now he's going to have this monstrous 8-story, 33-unit apartment building sitting in the middle of an ordinary block because he found some loophole that allowed him to do it. That is so abusive. That is so mean and nasty.
Well, he wants to make money.
Well, you know what? The neighborhood should go into total revolt here. Really. You've got to fight this guy. Because this is wrong. He contacted some whack job of the YIMBY movement, Yes in My Backyard, and got some legal help in order to fund a lawsuit against L.A. so that he could build this monstrosity.
No, there's going to be a lot more guys with him like him if he's a success. In Woodland Hills, he wants to replace a 4-bedroom home with an apartment complex of 67 units. 7 of which would be reserved for low-income disabled veterans.
Well, that's part of the loophole. If he does that, then the government will let him build the monstrosity.
Yep.
And your entire neighborhood is screwed.
In Sylmar, he wants to build 40 townhomes on a 1-acre site with a single-family home. That's what he's doing there, too.
You know what? This is where the city council, somebody's got to find an emergency way to stop him. This all started in Sacramento. We told you about those housing bills that they wrote to let the state take over.
The
zoning rules. It's really complicated. But here's the bottom line. It opened the door for this guy, Jha, to when he started this, he couldn't even speak much English. He had to walk around with a dictionary to figure out what all the legal words meant.
Yeah, I guess he just figured out his niche here. But you're right, this has to be stopped. A couple of the people on the commission said they didn't like this, but they couldn't do anything but approve it.
Samantha Millman is a planning commissioner, and she said that this building is a middle finger to the community. And it's a reference both to Jaws' attitude towards his neighbors and the visual of an 89-foot-tall structure lording over the 1, 2, and 3-story buildings nearby. So you're going to have an 89-foot-tall apartment monster right in the middle of an ordinary residential neighborhood in Woodland Hills.
That's what we feared. And of course, one of the reasons he got away with this, too, is that it's supposedly close to mass transit. Well, I think that was the one in Koreatown he's building.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the they created like these fake. It created the loopholes, right? It allowed him to do it if he's near mass transit, for example. Right. It's.
But we told everybody that was the idea behind some of these bills they were trying to pass, is that you could get it done if you were close enough to some sort of a transit hub, which might mean just bus stop or something.
See, and the way this is worded so misleadingly, it says he's not plopping the buildings in the middle of subdivisions. The projects are all within about a half mile of a major freeway with other multifamily housing businesses nearby. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. A half a mile is a long distance. He is plopping it in a subdivision. Just because there's a highway a half mile away doesn't mean it is in sync with the neighborhood architecture. You see the way they designed the definition? Oh, it's not plopped in the middle of a subdivision. Well, yes, it is. Because what you're talking about is a half mile away. That's a long way. That's a 10-minute walk.
All right, we will return. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
As you heard during Deborah's news, Trump has been indicted by the special counsel, Jack Smith, for the January 6th events. I see one reporter on Fox holding up the indictment to the camera, and there's 4 charges. And as soon as we get a printout, we'll read you what the official charges are. But
it's funny because CNN was reporting that it's sealed.
Well, it got unsealed.
I guess so. This is 15 minutes ago. A judge agreed to seal the indictment returned by the grand jury hearing evidence in the case of, to overturn the 2020 election.
Now he's reading through it now.
Oh.
And with the exact wording. He was just referring to something on the last page, and he held up the front page for the camera.
So, right.
So it's leaked. It's out.
Well, 2 weeks ago, Trump said he got a letter from this Jack Smith, that's the special counsel behind this, informing them that that he could face charges, and some of the criminal charges would include conspiracy to commit an offense against or to defraud the United States, tampering with a witness pertaining to the deprivation of rights.
Okay, and let me see here.
Some of the detail we knew about would involve, you know, that false elector story that was running about. And supposedly this indictment is not only about the 2020 election, but events leading to and including up to the January 6th takeover of the U.S. Capitol. So I don't know if that's going to be in this too, but
the charges include willful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and false statements. Hmm. And Or is that the Mar-a-Lago case? This is kind
of you have to be careful when you read some of these.
Yeah, hold on. I know it just handed to me, and I think, I'm sorry. This the opening paragraph for some reason referred to the Mar-a-Lago charges. Yeah,
Trump is all right. I have something from the New York Times: conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to threaten the rights of others, a conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding before Congress, and obstruction of an official proceeding. I would imagine that last two was dealing with their certification of the election results on January 6th.
That's when the electors from each state were to be certified by Mike Pence, and then they would do an official tabulation of for the Electoral College. And what Trump was trying to do was have states submit new slates of electors who would vote differently for him instead of Joe Biden.
Here is the exact. Trump has been charged with four crimes, one count of conspiracy to violate rights, one count of conspiracy to defraud the government, one count of obstructing an official proceeding and conspiring to do so. Convictions on the first two could carry a sentence up to 5 years in prison each. The obstruction charge carries up to 20 years. So there you go. So there's four counts there.
One thing that's lost with, because everybody focused on the violence, understandably, right? Because that was such crazy video going on, is that the charges against Trump here have to do with the that legal procedure getting interfered with. You know, when all the electors come together or the representatives from the states come together and they go through a ceremony that's been going on for hundreds of years, which is the official certification of the electors. And that's one of the few roles that a vice president has under our system, is that he's in charge of the official declaration.
Well, so we know
it's that assembly that got so terribly disrupted, which has led to these crimes or being charged.
And he really wanted Pence to do something. And Pence, of course, vice president, was president of the Senate as the vice president, and apparently Trump insisted Pence could do something to overturn that certification by Congress. Remember that whole ordeal there?
Yeah.
And he was very upset that Pence didn't stand up and do something to stop that.
Well,
so I don't know if that's involved
Trump,
in these
Trump
charges.
Trump was getting advised by somebody we had on the show a number of times, John Eastman, who is the law professor out of Chapman University.
Yeah.
And he told Trump, and, you know, it was a complicated scheme on how you could get around, you know, they were looking for loopholes in the Constitution. And, you know, Eastman thought he had cracked it, right?
Yes.
He's the one who laid out the roadmap. And, of course, Trump bought into it because Trump was looking for, if at all possible, a legal way to get the presidency back. And I don't know if they ever charged Eastman. I don't think they did, but I know that was being talked about for a while. And since then, Congress has like narrowed the loopholes a little so that nobody could make that interpretation anymore.
Right.
in the law. Because the law, the last law that they wrote on this was from 1887. And it just never came up before. And that's the trouble with a lot of laws written in the 1700s and the 1800s. You know, just such a dramatically different world and such stilted language they used that there were loopholes that somebody like Trump and attorneys could try to exploit at least.
So this is now the third time Trump has been criminally indicted. He was just charged in that classified documents case in June by the same guy, Jack Smith, and then the Manhattan grand jury charged him with that business fraud case back in March. We also know that in Georgia, they're looking at a possible case against Trump, dealing with trying to change the outcome in that state.
Well, the district attorney down there says they've got their work done.
And I heard that.
And
yeah.
It's going to be announced sometime this month, but they're working on security measures because they're afraid being down in Georgia that there could be, you know, some kind of violent eruption from the Trump supporters. So they're being very cagey as to exactly. They just said sometime between now and the 1st of September.
What does this mean? Probably nothing for next year, even though we're going to have to figure out when these trials are and how they line up versus the process of picking a Republican presidential nominee. But we've seen the polls that have come out this week, and there is definitely a staunch faction in the Republican Party that wants Trump and no one else. What was it, 37%, John?
37%. No one else. So they don't believe any of the charges, and there's absolutely nothing that could get them to vote for anyone else.
And as far as we know, there's nothing legally that would keep him from continuing his presidential run, right?
No.
He could even serve from prison if he
gets
sentenced by next year.
He could be president from prison.
Then he could pardon himself?
Every time I hear that discussion, legal people say, I don't know. One of those things no one thought about, never came up before, you know, when the founding fathers were writing the Constitution. So
this is one of these deals where people who really hate Trump and have hated him all along are excited and we're finally going to get him. And people who love Trump are like, you know, it's all corrupt.
Right.
They didn't like the outcome of the election. Trump was the winner and who cares?
Well, it's a complete loss of faith in the whole system.
There's some people in the middle who kind of shrug at both sides and like, oh my God. And of course, oh, I do have it here. Trump was just railing with his latest email that he put out about the corrupt Bidens.
Yeah.
He even brought up the Nazis, John, in this latest email I'm looking at.
Nazis. Good.
Yeah. It says here, Biden and his supporters are reminiscent of Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Also the former Soviet Union and other authoritarian dictatorial regimes.
See,
Trump has always followed the law and the Constitution.
Once your argument goes to Nazis, you got nowhere else to go. Like tomorrow, you can't compare him to anything worse.
Right, well, he threw in the communists too.
It's pretty clear. Biden and his son were running their own criminal organization. So this is what we have running for president here.
If
you're clear thinking, obviously.
You see today's poll results? They are completely locked. They're splitting the vote almost exactly, according to the latest polls.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people will sit out, but
well, even if only one person votes, you only have to win by one.
That's right. He's putting out a bunch of statements. Jack Smith's election interference. You see, he's interfering in the 2024 election now.
Right.
The Bidens have made millions selling access to the Chinese Communist Party, Ukraine, and other foreign nations. Joe Biden has now weaponized the Department of Justice to act as a shield to cover up his crimes. Oh, it's a good one. All right, we'll have more as we find it out. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I have the indictment. It's in front of me here. Want me to spend the next hour reading it or?
Sure.
CNN just posted it. A federal grand jury has indicted former President Trump in special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into efforts to overturn the 2020 election leading up to the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. By the way, we understand that Smith is going to make some kind of statement. He's the special counsel at 3 p.m. our time. So we'll pick up that coverage for as long as it is interesting. It starts off by saying who Trump was, 45th president of the United States. Despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. So for more than 2 months following Election Day on November 3rd, 2020, the defendants spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won. These claims were false. The defendant knew they were false. The defendant repeated and widely disseminated them anyway to make his knowingly false claims against legitimate or to appear legitimate, create his intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger, and erode public faith in the administration of the election. See, some of that, though, when I read that paragraph, it just sounds like sort of a free speech thing.
Yeah, well, they say
and that. And then it says that the president has a right, the defendant has a right, like every American, to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been outcome determinative fraud during the election that he had won. He's also entitled to formally challenge the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, like seeking recounts or audits of the popular vote. Indeed, in many cases, the defendant did pursue these methods. His efforts to change the outcome in any state through recounts, audits, or legal challenges were uniformly unsuccessful.
Remember, he went to court 60 times, and all 60 times he lost trying to prove some kind of fraud in various states.
So then they say he pursued unlawful means. The first is conspiracy to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. And then a conspiracy to corruptly obstruct and impede the January 6th congressional proceeding at which the collected results of the presidential election are counted and certified. And finally, a conspiracy against the right to vote and to have one's vote counted. And they mentioned the U.S. laws that were violated.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how many people on the inside at the White House will testify, if it gets that far, about what Trump knew and thought. Because I saw some discussion on one of the channels today that there were a number of people on his staff who said he knew he lost, like privately. He was quite aware. Like, he was doing this on purpose to create this public storm, to create some kind of climate where, you know, he could be reinstalled as president. So, there, you know, much like in the Dominion case with Fox, the Fox hosts knew that what Trump and his associates were selling were false, but they were trying to pander to their viewers. They were afraid they'd lose their viewers to another network. So there was a lot of people publicly faking it in order to try to enrich themselves in one way or the other.
See if you know who these people are. Co-conspirators. Co-conspirator one, an attorney who was willing to spread knowingly false claims and pursue strategies that the defendant's 2020 reelection campaign attorneys would not. Could that be Giuliani? Or is
it could be Giuliani. And
or
could
John
be
Eastman.
Sidney Powell.
Oh, Sidney Powell. Co-conspirator two is an attorney who devised and attempted to implement a strategy to leverage the vice president's ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election. Now, was that the John Eastman thing that he
could be?
Oh, by the way, there's six co-conspirators.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably Giuliani would be in there, I would guess.
And I think Sidney you're right Powell. About Sidney Powell. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because
John Eastman is probably one of
they
these
were out
people.
There publicly. And I just saw the other day that Giuliani had to admit in another court that what he was selling was nonsense.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. There was another case where he had to like raise the flag and admit that he was full of it. They did, you know, they did this knowingly. I mean, that's what's really bizarre. It's not these people were misinformed or they were blinded by, you know, some political agenda they were on. They actually knew it was factually wrong. They just wanted to see if they could pull it off.
Co-conspirator four is a Justice Department official who worked on civil matters and attempted to use the Justice Department to open sham election crime investigations and influence state legislators. I'm not sure who that is. Obviously, William Barr, who was the Attorney General, was not a part of this, as far as I can see. He was not really too happy with what Trump was doing. Co-conspirator five is another attorney who assisted in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors. We've talked about that. We don't know who that attorney is yet for sure. And co-conspirator six, a political consultant who helped implement the plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding.
Those six going to be charged?
It doesn't say. It just lists them as co-conspirators. It doesn't say indicted or unindicted.
Right.
Yep. It just mentions them as co-conspirators in the case. So maybe they will be charged in a separate indictment.
They're going to have gigantic legal bills if they actually get indicted.
Right.
These people are going to get sunk.
Right. And then it goes to the manner and means of the case. Basically, it was about trying to change the election results and change electoral votes for the defendant. And there you go. That's the big part of the case. So we're expecting, we believe, a statement from Jack Smith, who of course is the special counsel that's behind this indictment of former President Trump that just came out this hour. So we'll pick up whatever he has to say if it comes up soon. It's scheduled for 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock our time. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.